questions, comments, please call five. No, okay, go ahead. Personally, I, you know.
Andy, you want to repeat the question?
The question was about mapping the fingerboard and how each of us kind of go about learning how to get from point F to point C.
I personally just think of, you know, where the different chord positions are, and I think that's a good starting point. Anyway, so you have a G chord in an open position, and you have a G chord here, and you have a G chord here, and there's a G chord here. You know. So, I mean, that would be like a good starting point, I would think, just to kind of give you an idea of where different positions are going to fall. Is that kind of... the more hours you spend on an instrument, the more you're going to be able to, yeah.
At a certain point, it does become intuitive. And the question is, how do you get from it's not that way to where you don't have to think about it? And for me, it's combinations of scale positions and kind of positions on the fingerboard that I know melodically kind of what's going on. I mean, I think of the exact all the time specific notes or chord voicings that I'm going for, but I've got things that kind of lead me, that kind of push me in different directions, and that may be scale positions. Like you see, I got off the scale proper kind of no choice at the end of it, but I knew. So up there, you know, it's at the end of the G scale, and here in that melody, again, it just becomes, turns into this sort of more intuitive thing. It's sort of phrase based, but I want to try to do things that don't block it in so much to make it so position based. I want to try to leave as many doors open as I can. So I may have three or four things kind of going at the same time, you know, in the thought process, which can be bad.
Obviously. We gotta get it together, man. Come on.
Like in that gypsy, in the swing tune we played, man. One of the things I've stolen from some of those guys, that little
So
the gypsy trick thing, and I hear something like that, and I want to do that, and so I say, well, what are they doing? So it's like, it's an eighth of it, it's basically a B flat diminished chord, and so I find that, you know, and I work on the right hand to get it, to try to lock in what I'm hearing in my head, so. It's a device that I'm going to throw in somewhere. So in a solo like that, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to work because it's a theory that plays into it. It's an A7 to a D minor. And because it's the gypsy, because it's, you know, I'm just trying to go through kind of what I'm thinking about when I employ something like that. It's kind of an A7 flat 9. Basically the diminished kind of thing. So that's how you know to land on the D. Because it's all working somewhere. So the point, I guess, I'm trying to make is that I've got these various tools and directions that I try to lead myself in and try to at least have some sort of target of where it's going to be going. I know this is making no sense at all. This is what's going on in my head during that last song.
Folks, we have time for about one more song.
Thank you.
And like you're figuring out what you're gonna play, I want to to make sure people know where to find you later on. You'll find Brian Sutton on the main stage at about 8:45 playing with Hot Rise. And you're going to find Andy Falco playing with the Infamous String Dusters at 7:30. And you'll see Chaz Justice playing at the dance stage at 8:30 with the Stick Ramblers.
Answering your question, I would encourage you to work on scale positions up and down the neck. The great thing about fiddle tunes is that both of them are major scale based. Arkansas Traveler. It's all. Learn it without using open strings. Instead of, like we'd all normally learn it. Then you can play an A. Things like that, just build little things like that. There are other chord position things. Like this is a big one for me, the D position. A lot of that's kind of, I'm very familiar with that position. And I can identify, I can use it to help myself kind of think about somewhere else to go that might be a little bit different.
How much do you practice a day?
Not as nearly as much as I need to.
What's a typical day?
I play so much for you know, as a job. It can be 14, 16 hours a day sometimes. But it's, yeah, I'm not necessarily kind of progressing as a player. I've got to pay the light bill.
The gypsy guys like Django and those kind of cats, those guys didn't really practice per se. They never went to school, they never learned how to read. Django couldn't write his own name, he wrote D on his contracts. And he just, from the time he could hold a guitar or a banjo guitar, he played it. And they sit around the campsite and they play. And that's what they do. And it's a lot like this, actually. And never went to school or anything like that. So if you want
to
know.
The first thing we said about how to get into this kind of stuff, how do you do that? It's just jump in and ask a lot of questions. Pay attention to a lot of people that are better than you, that you can sit and watch and just look at how their body looks when they're playing, and pay attention to how you want to sound, have goals and things like that.
And have fun. It's the key, fun.
Oh yeah. When it's all over, have fun. We're going to play Salt Creek.
Yeah.
Playing it out of A for fiddlers or something, but it was all guitars. We're just so used to it.